right, Monday Night Football tonight, Tennessee and Buffalo from Nashville. 23 games so far in the NFL have been decided by in the last minute or in overtime, including your Minnesota Vikings. Actually, Mike Schaefer's Minnesota Vikings. He joins us now from Husker 24/7. Quick thought on your beloved NFL team that ran up 571 yards yesterday and 34 points.
Yeah, they did that against a pretty good Panthers defense, by the way, on the road. I don't want to alarm anyone or make anyone think I'm being held hostage somewhere or that I need immediate help. But Kirk Cousins, good NFL quarterback. Can we say that now? Is that fair?
Yeah. I would agree with you.
I mean, 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, high completion percentage, multiple fourth quarter comebacks. I think I saw the Star Tribune. I didn't actually read the full article because it's 2021 and no one actually does that. But I did read the full tweet, and Cousins has led six drives in the last, I think, 16 games, something like that, to take the Vikings down to either tie or win and or set them up to potentially win with those missed field goals in there as well. So that tells you they trail too often, which is its own set of issues, but it also kind of dispels some of the Kirk Cousins can't win in the fourth quarter narrative.
Him and Mike Zimmer had a nice little embrace after the game once again that has gone viral. But
maybe that's going to be the whole thing that turns the season around, is they're just going to awkwardly shove each other after every game now.
Hey, whatever works. I mean, you know, winning is hard. Whatever you need to do to win. Now let's talk about your Saturday up in the Twin Cities. Wait a minute. Before we talk about that, where's recruiting going? Because this is kind of an important week for Nebraska on the road. Coaches are out for the first time in a while. So where is the finish to this class going? Because we are, I think, 2 months now, less than 2 months from the signing day, the early signing period. Where is this class going, and what is there to look forward to?
I mean, I think, and I'm not trying to be a jerk with this, I think the most interesting thing is going to be, can they finish inside the top 60? With this class, because I don't think there's a lot of star potential of what they're considering still out there. I think that there are some guys, even in the state of Nebraska, still we saw with Gage Singer, who they flipped the other day. There's still some guys that they're considering inside the state as well. They try to take from their 9 commits to, it looks like 13 is kind of the number that they're probably going to sit at. And it's not going to be a class that's going to, you know, it's going to blow anyone away just based off its recruiting ranking numbers and its the stars and all of that. So they have guys in there that they really like, and we can spend time on that if you want. But moving forward, it strikes me they're looking for some more help at defensive back. They're looking for some help in the transfer portal, and those positions are maybe a little bit easier to define. But I think they'll probably try to grab one more defensive lineman, 2 more defensive backs, and then maybe you sort of see what is out there in terms of who's the best player available. Maybe a guy in state like Vince Genitone out of North Platte. Mm-hmm. Maybe he doesn't have a true position, but he's a guy that I think they like quite a bit. And Gage Singer is someone that doesn't have a true position, but he's so good that he just sort of forced the issue for Nebraska. And that hasn't quite happened with Vince's recruitment, because I don't know how many people have really watched him out of North Platte so far this year. South Dakota State, certainly very interested. Wyoming and Washington State have kept tabs on him, some other programs as well. But Nebraska has brought him to every event that they could. They have him with guys that, you know, they've offered. There's something there. It could be it wouldn't be a blue shirt, but it could be a gray shirt. It could be something. So I would keep him on your radar.
Does this staff have the ability to flip players that are not inside of Nebraska?
Yes, it has that ability. But right now, in addition to just making everyone re-examine how they actually feel about this 2021 season, Saturday also sort of just for whatever little momentum you might have had to turn to some of these kids on the road and basically be like, look, it's far from a finished product, but we've got this thing going in the right direction. You can't even say that. I mean, that's one of the things that makes it difficult about Nebraska and what they have to do in recruiting. And it's been so long since they've been able to get out. I don't know exactly where they're going to end up. They're certainly going to be in the state in the early half of the week, and then I would look for them to kind of hit the southeast. And Brian Held's going to be listening to 80s music somewhere in a car, I'm sure. So I think the difficult thing is I don't know what the pitch is. I think that clouds every conversation I would have right now if I was trying to recruit. I mean, obviously the pitch is you can come somewhere and we want you to have the experience to play in front of this great fan base, and we're believing what we're moving forward with. But can you really look at a kid in the eyes and if he just says to you, you know, this is your record, this is what you've been, why do you feel like this is moving in the right direction when the base standard of which we all use, win or loss, says otherwise? I don't know how they would answer that. I really don't. And now, you know, your 17-year-old kid isn't going to ask that question in the same way that a media member or a Nebraska fan is going to ask that question. But they're going to hear it from somebody in their life. They're going to be in a position in which they have to sort of wonder, what is it about this program that this staff feels good about? Because it can't be the results right now.
Why does, you know, you take a couple of steps forward, you take one step back. Why does it feel like it is more than just one step back? It feels like it's a gigantic step back after Saturday.
Well, I think because they never take the gigantic step forward. Does that make sense?
That does.
Like they don't.
That's very good.
They don't take the big step forward against Oklahoma, Michigan State, or Michigan. They didn't take the big step forward in 2020 against Iowa. Or even Northwestern, which at the time wouldn't have seemed like a big step forward, would have been in retrospect. They didn't take the big step forward in 2019 when they were 5-6 with the ball and near midfield, and their then quarterback needed to make a play or two and put them in position to have the server from Leadbelly kick a game-winning field goal. They just didn't. Yeah, I worked that in.
I know you did. I know that's your favorite. That's your favorite discovery of Mr. McCollum.
Hey, look, it's just the sort of thing that needs to be in every conversation, really. But you know what I mean? Like there hasn't been a giant step forward. It's only been, you know, you talk yourself into what they accomplished. We sit there and we talk about, well, they beat the crap out of Northwestern 56-7, and they look like a complete team today. And oh my goodness, Pat Fitzgerald's team hasn't had a beating like that in much of his career, and look at what they did there. This feels like, you know, we overemphasize the small steps because they don't take big ones. And so when they play like they did against Minnesota, it's not that we overemphasize that they played poorly. It's that we have nothing to correlate it against other than they just took a giant step back. There's not enough good that has occurred. Whatever good has happened has been relatively small. And we build it up because there's nothing else. We make a 56-7 win against Northwestern, something that I wouldn't say was commonplace under previous coaching staffs, certainly not under Riley. But beating a team that you should beat at home, we made that a big deal because they hadn't done it, really. Mm-hmm. Beating a team that you should beat on the road, we can't make it a big deal because they haven't done it. It's such a weird team. It's such a weird thing to sit here and analyze week to week. I swear your listeners probably hear me every Monday at 1 o'clock and they just sort of assume that I'm out of my mind, but they're experiencing it the same way that I am. And it's really hard to have any sort of standard for this team, and let alone we're going through it. Imagine being the guy that was hired in July to have to make a big decision.
Yep. Mike Schaefer joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. Give me some context to these two stats. Under Scott, they're 5-19 when they trail at halftime. And they've watched the opposition score first all five games this year. And when that happens, they're 0-5. And when it happens, the opposition scores first. They've lost 12 of the last 13. How do you give context to those two things?
Well, to start with, they're a bad team from behind. I think that feels like the easiest thing for me to point out. Nebraska is not a team that can do anything but play in front. That's the way that their coaching staff is built. That's the way that their defense is built. That's the way that their offense is built. They're a team that needs to be in a good set of circumstances playing in front because they are not conventional when they have to play from behind. They don't have a quarterback that is going to carve up a secondary They don't have necessarily guys that are just going to get loose and have a 75-yard touchdown like Kendrick Bourne. They don't have, you know, and that's just sort of a flippant example, but they don't have, they're not built that way. They are built to play under a certain set of circumstances, not all that different than Minnesota. And that's what makes the Minnesota game so frustrating, is that you know going in, you can't afford to fall behind them. They love it when they get a play in front. They want to run it at you. They want to sit on the ball. They want to play keep away. They want their defense to have the opportunity that they can just sort of go forward at you. They know they don't have a great secondary, but they feel like they're good enough there that it's going to be hard for you to continually make enough plays to go down the field. They're a team that loves to play from in front. Nebraska is a team that loves to play from in front. So why has the last 3 years Nebraska trailed every time? And it hasn't even really been like they threatened to take the lead, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's other than here in the fourth quarter. So they're just a team that's built to play a specific style. That's why the Northwestern game was so perfect. They hit the 70-yard play. They get a quick punt. That's why, honestly, if they score against Michigan to start that game, changes the whole tenor of how they play. Not just that they get a field goal, you know, maybe
three instead of seven
doesn't do anything, but 7-0 really changes how they play the rest of that game.
So points. I mean, it's all about points, ma'am. How would you, and this is really tough because there's a guy that's 6'9" that is a tight end that after his initial drop on Saturday turned in one of the better games for a tight end that Nebraska has seen, and that's Austin Allen. And you only have four more games with him because he's off to the NFL. And I mean, here's a tight end who had four catches that were for 20 or more yards. And we've seen what he has done. I mean, he's the all Big Ten tight end in my book. So you got a guy that's 6'9". Nebraska got into the red zone plenty. I mean, they got to the 1, the 9, the 29, got no points. Those are some trips in the second half. Mike, how do we figure out what Nebraska's goal is, end game, position, feel, idea of what they do with their offense when they get into the red zone?
It feels too much that they try to protect themselves from themselves. You know, it doesn't seem like they want to take much of a chance putting the ball in the air. They only threw it 2 times on Saturday in the red zone. They've only thrown it, I think Eric tweeted this out.
Yes.
I think they've only thrown it 16 times this season in the red zone. Yep. Those are pretty low numbers. And you know, they're a team that likes to run the ball. So it's not like they aren't playing to their strengths when they run it. But Minnesota called a play on Saturday that their backup quarterback threw it to their tight end on 4th and 5 from inside the red zone. I mean, from inside the 10-yard line. Like, that's a play that shows you one team is a little bit more confident in someone putting the ball in the air than Nebraska seems to be with Adrian Martinez, which just feels so damning. I mean, he's a fourth-year starting quarterback. You talk about how you went out and you got these weapons for him to throw to. You have Austin Allen, you have Travis Vokolek, you have Omar Manning, you have Samari Toure. They're all 6'3 or bigger. You have Xavier Betts, and you're not trying a jump ball one of those 4 downs. You're not trying to bring Chancellor Brewington across the formation like you did against, I think, Fordham.
Yeah, by the way, I don't think he played.
Yeah, so but it doesn't have to be just him. It could have been Travis Vokolek. It could have been, you know, Samari Toure. Like, there's ways to get cross-play action off of a play-action snap. They just do the simplest, most base thing that they can do when they get in the red zone, and they don't do it well enough. I mean, I know they score at a decent clip and everything, but, man, the Michigan game and the Minnesota game, you got 8 plays in there where they need to get 10 or less yards, and they couldn't do it. And that has to just hurt, and they didn't once put it in the air. And you have Austin Allen who catches that touchdown on the one fade that Adrian's thrown all season.
And he had to make a great catch, by the way.
Yeah. I asked him after the game, I was like, does that build trust? And you could sort of just tell, like, I don't want to, you know, I'm sure you have the audio clip somewhere. He basically said that's been in the playbook all season. Like, that's been there. They don't call it.
You think there's any, and this has become a topic today because Adrian is always a topic, and he just has to be better at quarterbacking 101 when you're a fourth-year senior in some of the just awareness. But that's been an issue for 1, 2, 3, year 4. Do you think there's, and again, Adrian's been a big topic here, and so people immediately start to look to the backup. PJ Fleck And he's done this, so he has a history. It's not like just all of a sudden he started doing it when Tanner Morgan wasn't as successful this year. He likes the backup quarterback and they run Wildcat. Do you even think that crosses Scott's mind to insert Logan Smothers in those kind of situations?
You know, I actually kind of had that thought myself this morning. I can't say that I've had it before then. But do you remember Tyrone Swoops at Texas?
Yes.
And then Blake Bell at Oklahoma?
Yes.
Like, there's certain quarterbacks that you can go and get, or certain players that you can go and get where you build a package where if you just want to play straight power inside the 5-yard line, it wouldn't be the worst thing if this staff continues and they're going into 2022 and whatever happens with Adrian X, maybe use a transfer portal spot on finding a guy that can do that for you. Logan Smothers isn't big. Heinrich Harburg could really grow into being someone like that, and so maybe keep an eye on that. But that's not the worst idea. I mean, P.J. Fleck has done it for a while. You remember yep. Seth Green. That yep. was kind of his role there. Mm-hmm. And so not that Nebraska fans want Scott Frost to take a whole lot from P.J. Fleck. Maybe they should. I don't know. But one of the things that they really consider is if you want to play that way in the red zone, you got to either have the battering ram as your starting quarterback or find someone to make his life a little bit easier. Because he didn't look like And I'm not trying to say that he wasn't running hard on that third down play, but you can make his life a little bit easier if you have someone that you trust to put in that situation whose just sole goal is either quick pass off a zone read or take it in yourself. Like that's a real possible strategy for this team to try to implement going forward.
What do you expect Nebraska to look like a week from Saturday when Purdue is here, off of the bye week and then a normal week of prep?
I think it'll look more like the second half than the first. Yep. I don't want to get in the habit of just assuming Nebraska is going to fall apart. I think that's what people did after the Illinois game, and they came back and they played 6 really good games. But then they had another stink bomb for at least a half against Minnesota, and it cost them. And I don't, the Purdue comes to town, that's a team that I think Nebraska can beat. What fascinates me is the Minnesota beat writers that I interacted with on Saturday, hearing from them on Saturday night and Sunday after I had left, mm-hmm. and they're basically rewatching the game, and they're basically saying, this is as good of a roster as Minnesota is going to see in the Big Ten West. It's just incredible to me. People think Nebraska has talent. They don't think the coaching staff does. that's the outside view on this program right now. I really do believe that, at least in the conference. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for the perspective, and the Michigan people thought the same thing. So that's two straight opponents in Nebraska's played.
Yeah, I mean that was a game where I think, I thought they coached fine in the Michigan game. They made some decisions or whatever, and I don't want to put it all on coaching, but at least on Saturday it felt like Nebraska got out coached at the opening bell and then had to play catch up, and just like they have so many times, they can get close. They can punch the right combination to get it within the right amount of digits. They just can't finish the job.
It seems like there are times they'll go through a course of a game where everybody's not on the same page and you can't find that killer instinct that I don't know that has existed for 4 years. It's a very uneven program, frustrating, angry, disappointing, whatever. I say they're stuck. And they got 4 games to try and prove everybody wrong.
Yeah. Well, and look, I mean, sometimes it's as simple as those first 3 plays, right? Misfire, like negative run, misfire, and misfire. And I think everybody in the press box knew exactly what kind of day they were looking at. I assume the fan base did too. And that's got to hurt somewhere for someone inside that program. That everyone kind of knows what you are when you start that way.
Yep. Chafe, as always, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Gary, have a good one.
Mike Schaefer from Husker 24/7. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike J. Schaefer.